Gospel according to John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, hear the word of God. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, we look this morning at the first recorded miracle in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read this passage, we don't find a great deal of explanation about what he did and why. There are other miracles that we will examine, and as we do, we will find that there is a great deal of material and explanation to them. But there's not much here, and so there's a lot of speculation about this particular miracle. A lot of questions have been asked in the commentaries about why Jesus performed this, and a lot of discussion has gone by about it. Wrong questions have been raised as well. Some have asked, was this miracle even necessary? Some have asked, well, why wouldn't Jesus relieve human suffering and make this a joyous occasion? Or why go and do something such as this and so non-essential as simply providing wine for a feast? All kinds of reasoning abounds with this miracle, but it would seem to me that the truth of this miracle, the explanation of this miracle, comes to us from the book itself, as John records it in verse 11 of chapter 2. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Galilee, and here is what he tells us is the reason for recording the miracle and for the miracle's occurrence. He did it to manifest his glory. The purpose for the miracle was to manifest the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for us to understand the miracle, we must see how this miracle manifests the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to begin to look at, first of all, the symbol of the wine as it's used all throughout the scripture, for this miracle is all about the changing of water into wine. We want to also be reminded that it takes place at a wedding and a time of celebration. A wedding feast in the days of Jesus could last for a week. That would be something today. Sometimes if you go to weddings today, you think, when is this thing going to be done with? But in those days, it lasted a week. It was a festive occasion where bride and groom would come together and were honored. And even among the poorest of the people, the bride and groom were lifted up and honored in that wedding celebration as king and queen. And in that celebration, there was a festivity of eating, and the wine was an essential component because it was that which provided them nourishment. And in the midst of this particular celebration, there comes a painful pause in the text, and it simply says, "The wine ran out." Mary, the mother of Jesus, is present. She comes to Jesus with the distressing news and indicates that he should do something about it. And again, a great deal of ink has been spilled in the commentaries about why Jesus responded to his mother in this fashion. And I would answer, I simply don't know. All I know is that the text is clear, and at the end of it, it says, this beginning of signs, this first miracle, verse 11, Jesus did to manifest his glory. And that's what we need to see as we look at the text. So let's look at the wine in this text, because the sign of the wine is important. Wine is a symbol in all of Scripture for gladness and prosperity and blessing from the hand of the Lord. When the Lord told his people in Israel that he would bless them in the land of Canaan, one of the signs of that blessing would be the provision of one of the staples that they needed in their menu and in their diet, and that was wine. Probably because, as we all know, the water wasn't very good, and the wine was a provision for their needs. And when the Lord told his people of Israel that they were going to be blessed, it was always a blessing of wine and grain and other things like that. That indicated that they would be provided for and that all their needs would be met. Take, for instance, Psalm 104. In verse 14, it says, he makes, that is the Lord, he makes wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine. Note that in that text, the psalmist says the purpose of the wine is to cause the person's heart to be glad, to enrich them. Isaiah the prophet, to sample another place in the Old Testament scripture, the 25th chapter, verse 6, it says, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, as he begins to paint this picture of the great blessing that the Lord is going to bring for his people. It's going to be a great banquet that they're going to come to. And he noticed that Isaiah 25 says, a banquet of aged wine. The wine is included because that's what would be included in a banquet. And Joel chapter 3, the prophet says in verse 18 that the prosperity of the messianic age, as by prophecy he looks forward to see what will happen in the day of the coming of the Messiah. How does he describe the great messianic age and the blessing of that messianic age? He gives this beautiful illustration of the mountains, he says, which will drip new wine. And the hills will flow with milk. Those are pictures of prosperity and blessing. And each of those pictures takes wine and uses it to portray the blessing of the hand of God. It is a picture of which, in which God is showing Israel that he would reverse their misfortune. He would reverse the misfortunes of sin that had come and the destruction that had come into their lives. And the picture that he paints of that great reversal is the blessing of wine, the abundance and the overwhelming power of his grace is depicted by this image all throughout the Old Testament. And then when you turn to the pages of the New Testament scripture, when the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, he says, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. He picks up on that theme of the abundance of God's blessing and the restoration of the sinner, which God had painted in picture form in the Old Testament, using the picture of wine flowing in abundance. And the picture of prosperity and the blessing of grace in the New Testament is the blessing of God's presence and power through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even that picture of wine comes to us in this passage as a picture of prosperity and blessing. Notice the master of the feast. is given the new wine and he tastes it and he examines it and he says, this is better than the other stuff. And he goes to the head of the bridegroom and he says, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now. There's a sense there of the blessing and the prosperity, but there's also a picture of that prosperity and that abundance in the fact that Jesus filled the water pots with water to the brim, and he changed all of that water into wine. How much did he do? Well, it tells us there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, each containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Well, if you just do the multiplication, that's a lot of wine. And why is it a lot of wine? Because when Jesus does something, it's abundant. It's in a picture of the abundance of his kingdom. It's a picture of the abundance of his grace, which will come to his people through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of his grace. Wine, then, is viewed throughout the scripture as a portrayal of God's overwhelming blessings in terms of the prosperity of the messianic age in the Old Testament, and now in Jesus' day, he brings about the fulfillment of that by changing the water into the abundance of wine. When we come to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it will be placed before our eyes in this very gospel, we will see that it culminates in his sacrificial death upon the cross of Calvary, and that death inaugurates the messianic kingdom, the messianic era of salvation that the Old Testament prophets looked for and longed for. The Messiah has come. That's the message before us as the sign manifests his glory. What was a symbol of gladness and prosperity in the coming messianic kingdom is a sign that the Messiah has come. And this miracle of the water changed into wine attests to the glory of the Messiah. That's why John specifically states in verse 11, it manifests his glory. If you turn back to John 1, verse 18, notice that John writes this gospel and he says, verse 17, of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now what does verse 18 say? No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And it says we have seen his glory. We saw the glory of the Messiah. And as John is recording this gospel and reflecting upon it, he is saying, when we saw Christ, we saw the glory of the Messiah, the promised one of God. We saw the one who is Lord. And this first miracle manifests the glory of the messianic Lord Jesus Christ. How does the water into wine declare the glory of Christ? Well, the miracle has a specific purpose. It falls within the great purpose of John, who wrote this entire gospel for one specific reason. You should know this text by heart. I hope you do. If you don't know it by heart, I hope that you've at least underlined it or highlighted it in your Bible. It's John 20, verse 31. John 20, 31. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Why did John write the gospel? These things are written, he's self-consciously telling you, that you may believe. So everything that he writes in the gospel, from the very beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, to the second chapter of the gospel recording the water changed into wine, everything is written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Jesus that John says in chapter 1, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth before us in this miracle. In this miracle, the Son of God demonstrates his infinite compassion for mankind. The wine was gone, a huge embarrassment to the hosts and to the master of ceremonies. And our Lord brings a solution to this problem that no one else could possibly have done. He changes the water into wine, but he does it abundantly, demonstrating that he is the Lord of glory. Who else could change water into wine? He shows that he is the Lord of glory and the master of the universe, the creator and the Lord of all, whose power is in his very word. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He spoke and it came forth and it came into being. And this Lord of glory performs this miracle that we may observe the glory of the Messiah. But of even greater importance is this demonstration of the water into wine to show us that Jesus is inaugurating a new order. He is beginning his kingdom work. The abundance of wine and the changing of the water into wine suggest that there is a new order in which the old wineskins of Judaism will be replaced by the abundance of life in the messianic blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that which was anticipated by the Jewish system is now fulfilled in Jesus. And the messianic kingdom is being revealed in the person of the Messiah. He's being identified by the miracles. The Messiah is being identified for the people to believe. And by means of the symbol of wine, the blessing of God upon his people now is connected with the Messiah himself. And that symbol will depict the suffering and the glory of the Messiah as the grapes are squeezed to bring the life of them and to produce juice. So the Messiah will be crushed, pouring out his life for many. Is that not what Isaiah 53 verses 10 through 12 tell us? It pleased the Lord to crush him. That was predicted, and now the Messiah comes in fulfillment of those great prophecies. And as that wine would bring gladness and satisfaction to the body, so the blood of Jesus Christ will bring satisfaction to God for the sins of his people. And John expressly states that this miracle demonstrates the glory of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, then we must content ourselves as to the questions that the text will answer and leave the ones that we can't answer unanswered. There just are some questions that we have that we cannot answer. But while all of the answers to our questions are not given, the text explicitly links the glory of Christ to faith in Christ. Notice verse 11. The beginning of signs Jesus did and manifested his glory, and what? And his disciples believed on him. When the glory of Christ as Messiah and Lord is set forth, it calls for faith on the part of those who see it. And that's the very purpose of John's gospel. These things are written, all of these things, that you may believe, reader. You who hear this, as he is writing this passage, John is thinking of those down the centuries who would hear this word read and calls us to faith. They're written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the one who provides abundant life, that he is the one whose glory is revealed as the Messiah, as the Lord of glory. We are called to faith in the Son of God, who is displayed as the Savior of sinners in this gospel. We are called to faith. Will you believe? Is the call of this text. Will you believe in the one who changed the water into wine? Will you believe in the one whose power and strength demonstrated that though veiled in flesh, he was indeed God, and that he demonstrated that in this miracle that he is the Lord of glory. The water into wine calls us to faith in the one who is able to change that water into wine, the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him is the word of the gospel. Believe and be saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel that points us to Christ, the gospel that continuously shows us the glory of the Messiah, that he is indeed God manifested in the flesh. And may our hearts rejoice in him, and may we trust him with all that we are. Oh, how we pray that others too may know and hear that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.